First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the show. Wednesday afternoon here. Week 9 of the NFL season coming up. As always, we're going to bring in Cousin Sal, Sal Iacono from Jimmy Kimmel Live. Each week, he looks at the lines. He makes his predictions for those lines. And then he calls me, and I make my predictions, and we see who does better. And Sal, this season, I might be killing you in fantasy, but you're killing me in the picks game.
I think I've won 6-2, yeah.
It's terrible. The good news is... We found out that two of my readers, are actually betting each week on who's going to win.
God bless them. I feel like we should allow them to watch the games with us or invite them.
I know. It's really one of the pinnacles of my career that somebody could gamble on something that I'm involved with. That's dumb.
Yeah.
It's great. So a couple things to discuss before we get to the picks.
Uh-huh.
First of all, my fantasy team, 7-0 going into last week, a tragic 2-point loss where Jay Cutler grounds the ball to Brandon Marshall. Immediately followed by Brett Favre's overtime pass. Part of you was a little sad that my undefeated quest is over.
Oh yeah, I wanted you to lose in the playoffs in the Super Fantasy Bowl or something. This is anticlimactic, right?
It is. I think we're all a little saddened by how it turned out. But I mean, really, like Jay Cutler can't throw a 5-yard pass.
I guess we'll get to that. But he bounced it to Brandon Marshall. You needed that touchdown to win, but. God, I never saw a team so ecstatic from the 1-yard line, ended up kicking a field goal. It's like that's the big challenge, to get Elam out on the field in time. I don't know.
I know. Yeah, it's like they're giving him a degree of difficulty or something. I think that QB sneak that they ran may have been the single worst play of the 2007 season.
That was terrible. And they didn't even care that it wasn't to be measured or anything.
Right.
I'm not even Monday morning quarterbacking it, but because it's Wednesday already, but... Go for it on fourth down for that very reason. Like
I know.
Packers could get the ball, and then that's the end of the game, and you're not going to get any closer.
I don't understand why teams are always so content to go into OT when they're on like the 1 or the 2-yard line.
Yeah, makes sense.
Just win the game. The other issue, I emailed you this week trying to trade you one of my two QBs. I have Carson Palmer and Tony Romo, and your team is 1-7, and you graciously bowed out of any potential trade because you didn't want to affect the race. I just wanted to commend you.
Well, good. I didn't take the bait. And also, at Jimmy Kimmel Live, I work with all these lunatics who will never let me hear the end of it if I improved your already all-pro roster.
But I think there is a moral debate here of when it's really time for somebody to pack it in and not try to affect the race. And I think you answered any and all questions about your character.
Well, that's why we make the trade deadline like this week. So,
So
some of the ones who aren't as serious as we are, don't give in to temptation.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than the 1-7 or the 0-8 team.
Right.
Somehow making a crazy trade that swings the balance of the,
right.
of the thing.
The problem is now you're treating me like a 1-7 team. Like, I don't know anything. And you offered me, like, Trent Edwards for Terrell Owens or something.
So no, I didn't.
I couldn't even accept
it. I called you to gauge your interest in Carson Palmer, who was the second best quarterback going into the season.
All right, I got you.
Whatever. All right, let's get to the lines. Week 9, and let's save the Colts-Pats game for last.
Is that this week?
Yeah that's this week. I don't know if you heard.
I was looking at that. Okay, all right. Let's start with Green Bay, Kansas City. Kansas City's home.
Is this just one of those horseshoe years for Favre where he's going to win like 6 games that he shouldn't win?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's already won 6 he shouldn't win. I don't know.
Because that win was maybe the most ridiculous win of the season. The Broncos inside the 3-yard line twice and get 3 points out of it. And then Favre, the 80-yard pass to win the game or whatever it was.
Yeah, but without knowing the line yet, you have to look at it saying, all right, well, Green Bay is coming off an emotional Monday night win. They're going to have a short week. They're going to Arrowhead. It's a tough place to play.
Yep.
Got to take the Chiefs, and then we're going to be stuck with the with the Hard Knocks version of Herm Edwards. I guarantee.
I know. He's been waiting. He's been biding his time for 7 weeks before he pulls the Kaiser Soze on us.
Exactly.
I really like the Chiefs in this game, but I think Vegas is going to be a little partial to the Packers, so I'm going to say Chiefs by 1.5.
You are closer than I am. I said Chiefs by 2. You say 1.5. It's Chiefs by 1.
All right.
So you get that one right off the bat.
All right,
so
here I go. Big week for
that's me. A tough one. All right, game 2. We'll go Denver at Detroit.
God, the Lions are 5-2.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I can't wait to bet against them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's going to be really nice.
It could be a 7-1 team and a 6-2 team in the NFC North, and neither of them are the Bears.
Jeez.
Interesting.
Well, this Lions team at home is kind of interesting. I'm going to say Lions by 3.5.
That's what I said, and that's exactly what it is, 3.5.
All right.
Exactly. All right. You're 2-for-2. Yeah, I don't know. Do we like Detroit when they're supposed to win? It seems like they surprise you, and that's when you take them. But
I don't like anybody when they're supposed to win.
Yeah.
Unless it's the Pats or the Colts.
That's how I was looking. All right, I was way off on this one. I shouldn't even say that because that gives you a clue. But San Francisco at Atlanta.
Hmm. Who's QBing for Atlanta?
I think it's Billy Joe Tolliver. I'm not sure this week.
They learned about a retirement. It might be J.J. Harrington again.
Yeah, I think they are looking at him.
Ugh, it's just a terrible game. And I think both teams have, although the Niners can't really pack it in because the Pats have their first-round pick, so it's not like they could just gear toward 2008.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Yeah, everybody forgets. I'm going to say Niners by 1.
All right, you're going to get this one again. I said Niners by 3, and it's Atlanta by 3.
Hmm.
I mean, they're clearly one of the four worst teams in football, and I don't know. I just think by week 9, one of those four teams should never be favored.
Aren't the Niners one of the other four worst teams?
No. What do we think? We like Miami and St. Louis, and who's the other bad one? The New York Jets, right?
I think I would throw San Francisco in that.
Really?
Mix. Yeah, I think I would.
I guess we'll see this week. They have two wins.
They stink. Remember, they won that week 1. They won the Monday night game against Arizona that they had no business winning.
Hasn't been anything since then. All right. Okay, the other bad team, the Jets, hosting Washington.
With Kellen Clemens finally taking command.
Yep.
About 4 weeks too late.
Mm-hmm.
Well, does Vegas just throw out that Redskins game because they were playing the Pats? Like, it's almost like can't affect how anybody feels about them, or do they factor it in?
Well, I'm not going to give you a hint. We've had hit 3 in a row so far.
I wanted the hint. I'm going to say Redskins by 3.
All right, we split that one because I said 4, and it's 3.5.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's my pick of the week, I think, the Redskins. I mean, they have to be – they can only blame the Jets for what the Patriots did to them last week, right?
Yeah, it's true.
It's not for that big-mouth Mangini. They wouldn't have lost so badly. And I don't know. The Jets are just – whenever we look at them on the screen, they never have the ball. It's dumb play calling.
Yeah, it's like somebody who told on somebody else who then got beaten up because that other person told them, and now they're meeting the guy that told on them.
Yeah, I'm walking around with this black eye, and you're going to say.
Yeah, you're right. I think the Redskins kill him.
All right, Carolina, Tennessee.
Vince Young?
I think Vince Young, he puts up terrible numbers every week, and he starts, and they have 5 and maybe 6 wins after this week.
Aren't these two of your least favorite teams?
Yeah,
just because they're kind of good and they're favored by 6 every week and they win but they don't cover.
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee will be like the softest 6-win team out there. Even if they end up 6-10, they'll be the softest 6-win team. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to say Tennessee by 6.
All right. I get this one. I said 3.5. It's 4. So it's a little lower.
With Vinny on the road.
Yeah. Vinny on the road.
I don't agree.
Thank God he didn't win that game. We would have had we finally had a week off of Berman pontificating about Brett Favre because he played Monday night. But if Testaverde would have beaten Peyton Manning, forget it. I would have sold my TV.
Well, I think Berman identifies with these guys because they're the same age.
That's true. All right, Jacksonville at New Orleans. That could be a good one.
Jacksonville at New Orleans. Do we buy into this New Orleans resurgence?
They're another one that could turn on us any second.
What a weird start of the season for Breece. Like, he tanked it basically for 4 weeks. Everybody traded him in their fantasy league.
Yep.
And now he's turned it back on. They all feel stupid. I'm going to say New Orleans by 2.5.
All right, I'm closer there. I said 3, and it's 3.5. So
interesting.
They like New Orleans a little there. Quinn Gray on the road. But that's when we like Jacksonville, right? When they play on the road, when they're home, they don't have a shot.
Well, it also seems like the Jags, anytime you don't think they're going to win, they win.
Right.
They're one of those teams.
All right, San Diego at Minnesota.
Kelly Holcomb again, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's the last I read, yeah.
I got to say, this Brad Childress, they don't throw a single screen pass to Adrian Peterson last week.
Yeah.
And they never pitch it to him. I don't think I've ever seen a good player more misused than Peterson is on that Vikings team.
Yeah, yeah. He could have like a 3-year career, and that'll be it if he stays there.
I mean, wouldn't you throw him a screen pass once a quarter?
Do something. If your quarterback's not doing anything, right? You have to work him in there.
It's insane. I notice this stuff because he's on my fantasy team, but...
No, but if they have him back there returning kicks or whatever, they realize what an integral part he's going to be.
Exactly. So, and he's also, their only asset. They have nobody else.
Right.
And you would just think they would be figuring out all these convoluted ways to work him into the offense each week. Uh-huh. And instead, it doesn't seem like they care. Now, I think this Chargers team, now that we're starting to realize that the Pats are even better than we thought earlier in the season, maybe this Chargers team that we all kind of gave up on, maybe it is still a really good team. It's just not as good as the Pats.
Maybe.
So I'm going to say San Diego by 6.
All right, that's what I said too, and it's 7. So we split that.
All right.
And after 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, after 7 games, we're split with ties now.
All right.
Okay, Cincinnati at Buffalo.
J.P. Losman back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like that. But I don't like Cincinnati either. I'm going to say Buffalo by 2.5.
All right, you get it because I said 3, and it's Buffalo by 1. I like the Bills here, right? Don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just better.
For some reason, the Bengals have become one of those teams this year that they're clearly not good, but people refuse to accept this.
Yeah. Well,
and
I think it's
they get credit.
Like you said, because everyone has probably 5 of their fantasy players, right? You know, Houshmandzadeh and Chad Johnson are still highly regarded, and Palmer
right.
and everybody, But
yeah, it's that weird thing, and this happens in basketball too, where there are good fantasy guys on the team, and people assume that the team is good.
Because
this happens in basketball. A team will have 4 really good fantasy guys, but, oh, that team's great, but,
right.
They can't play defense or whatever.
Yeah.
I think Marvin Lewis should be fired.
Yeah.
That team is the most underachieving team.
Listen, don't get me started because we'll never be able to do this again. But yeah, no, he should go, and I think the Bills have a good shot at if they win 8 games in that division with the Patriots. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is good.
So, all right, next game, Arizona, Tampa Bay. Another one that's going to be brutal to watch. But
I like Arizona. I think one of my predictions for the second half of the season is that becomes the team that gets better and better.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm going to say Tampa's favored by 3.5.
That's it. You hit it exactly. I said 4.
But I like Arizona in that game.
You have a 2-game lead on me now going into the afternoon games. And the first one is Houston at Oakland.
What does that Oakland team do well?
I don't know. You want them to be good. You want both of these teams to be good, right? And it just
At least like with Houston, you can point to like Andre Johnson got hurt. Amon Green, like, did he even ever play?
Right.
But
Lamont Jordan's
everybody.
Putting up garbage numbers, and I don't know. It's just some things are inexplicable with that club.
It's at Oakland.
At Oakland.
I'm going to say Raiders by 3.5.
Raiders by, okay, I actually hit this one exactly. It's Raiders by 3. So I come back a little bit there.
Really?
Seattle at Cleveland. That's a fun game, I think.
Ooh. That's a nice one. That's also a tough one to predict because Cleveland might be good.
This is a marquee late afternoon game, I think. Don't you agree?
How dare you?
I mean, we'll switch back and forth, I guess. I have the Seahawks defense, so.
You know what? I'm going to say this Browns team deserves to be favored.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Browns by 2.
All right, you get that. I said 2.5. It's 1 point. It opened at Cleveland minus 1. So.
What is
and
it?
Why not? Like they're fun to watch. I like them all right.
Yeah, that Derek Anderson. Yeah, he's tall and he can move around.
Mm-hmm.
He actually a little bit like the BC quarterback. Not a lot of tall guys that can move around.
No, no. Well, I mean, you know, there's Testaverde, Anderson. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. All right. We'll skip the Pats Colts for now. Dallas at Philly Sunday night.
Ooh, how are you feeling about this one?
Well, let me ask you something, because our good friend Dave had a different take on it. But I think now that it was it came out that Tony Romo received a lap dance from Britney Spears in their off week, I think he's cursed now.
You think that's it?
I think it's cursed. But our friend Dave says no. Everything she touches goes to gold. Look at Justin Timberlake. Look at K-Fed is now a millionaire. He was going to be nothing, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. And the best part about that is you summarized his point in about 15 minutes less than he probably did.
I can't wait to tell him you said that.
I agree with him. I think for some reason, you know, whatever contact she has with somebody, it makes them, puts them in a better place.
All right. But the other question all over is, everyone's seen that thing a million times, and she's right. I don't like it.
Is it news when she gives somebody a lap dance at this point?
Yeah, I guess if she turned one down, I guess that would be news.
Yeah, that would be more of a news. Yeah. I think your team is much better than the Eagles.
Thank you.
And I think the Eagles are not good. So I'm going to say Dallas by 4.
All right. I said 3.5, and it's 3, so I get that one. But, yeah, Vegas likes Philly for some reason. They beat Minnesota, but they had them favored against them. They're not about to give up on them just yet.
They're the NFC version of Cincinnati.
That's it. That's probably it, yeah. All right, we'll go to Monday night Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
And this I'm not going to say what I did with this one, but go ahead. You guys.
That's a nice one.
Yeah.
I don't think Baltimore's good. So I'm going to say Pittsburgh by 6.
All right. Let me tell you something. You're 3.5 points off, and you still win. It's Pittsburgh by 9.5. I had Pittsburgh by 4.5.
Wow.
That's a giant spread. I mean, I know the Ravens are similar, I think, to Minnesota, where they can't move the ball at all, which doesn't make sense. But, God, 9.5.
So you were 5.5 points off?
I was way off.
Wow.
I don't know.
It's funny, though. Now that you say it, I think I'd still take the Steelers.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they beat up on Cincinnati, and I don't know.
The only thing is, the Ravens had a bye week last week.
Right.
This is really the season for them. If they lose this game, the season's over.
Mm-hmm.
And Pittsburgh, didn't they just play on the road 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah. Brian Bill. Does it really take 10 years to decide between Bowler and McNair? Just make a decision or get rid of both of them. No, this team could be good if not for them.
I'm always amazed that these guys who can't choose between their quarterbacks stay in successful marriages. You would think it would transfer to other aspects of their life.
You're right.
They'd have four girlfriends. They wouldn't know what to do. Maybe he does.
All right, New England and Indy. I'm going to have to trust that no one's sent you this line. Thousands of readers.
Yeah, but I went on the record on Sunday at Jimmy's house.
Okay, oh, that's true. All right. And what did you say again?
I said Pats by 5.
All right, I said 5.
And then remember, we had the whole conversation about, isn't it amazing that a defending Super Bowl champion
undefeated
would be getting 5 points at home in week 9.
And you know what? They are. They're getting 5. And I had 5 also. So let me add them up. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You stole my idea.
You win. You win this week. Congratulations. You win.
I did the fake crouch here.
Yeah, isn't that, God, 5 points. I don't know. What do you think? You think they're covering, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to beat everybody by 20 points for the rest of the season, except for that Giants game in week 17, which is looming as.
That's the NFL Network carries it, too. So if you lose, no one's going to really see it anyway.
Is that an NFL Network game?
That's an NFL Network game, and the Packers-Cowboys in the last Thursday in November is an NFL Network game.
That's awesome. We really need to start upping the ante with Time Warner.
Yeah.
Because
that'll be good.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Time Warner is one of the two biggest cable systems, and they're not going to have the Giants-Patriots game? It's not going to be shown on the network?
No, doesn't make any sense. All right,
oh
but back
God.
To this Colts thing, really. I have to believe that there's a God out there, and he doesn't want the season to end in Week 9. And the Colts keep this close. I just have to do it. I don't know.
I can't kill you on it because as good as the Patriots offense is, there's no real evidence that they can shut down that Colts offense.
What I'm going to predict that they win. The Colts win this week. I know. God forbid. The Colts win and then lose in San Diego next Sunday night. And then the Patriots catch up anyway and then host the AFC Championship game.
I'm going to say this. Barring an injury, I don't think there's any way the Patriots are losing this game.
Wow. Wow.
I'm more confident about them in this Colts game than I was with the Red Sox against that terrible Rockies team.
Oh, the arrogance. I love it. I really love it.
It's not even arrogant. I mean, we kept that Pats game on Sunday. Every time there's even a hint of a blowout, we switch the game from the big screen and put a closer game. We kept that Pats game on the entire game because everybody was so enthralled by what was happening. Good
and bad.
Let
me just ask you, if the Yankees were hitting and running against your Red Sox in the ninth inning up 15 runs, you would have a conniption. Is this fair anymore? I mean, I hate to compare it to war, but this is Abu Ghraib. I know everything's fair in war, but these teams are getting tortured, and something needs to be done. Someone needs to step in.
Well, I have a whole theory about this that I don't want to give away right now, but I am going to ask you this.
Yeah.
San Francisco 55, Broncos 10.
Yeah, I remember that. I took the points.
Did anybody – how about Refrigerator Perry – running it in against the Patriots in Super Bowl 20.
Well, that's funny you say that because I've been close listening to Ditka to see his take on it, and he's okay with the whole thing. So
of course he is, because he freaking took out Walter Payton so the Fridge could get a touchdown. I mean, we had this stretch with the Super Bowl when we were growing up where every year teams ran up to score in the Super Bowl and everybody thought it was okay, and then the Patriots do it against the Redskins. What are they supposed to do, kneel the ball?
I think the Super Bowl's different, though. It's like a big pageant. It's like the Academy Awards, and like these people know that they're only supposed to give an acceptance speech for a minute, but they say, screw it, this is my time, and I'm going to go 3 minutes, and that's it. But I'm telling you, there's no room for this in football.
Well, I have a whole theory in this. I don't want to give it away, or else I basically won't have any ideas left for my comp. But I do think... I think there are some components to this that make a lot of sense. And the other thing is that this isn't high school. It's professional football. And I don't know what they're going to do. Every play they run gets 10 yards. How are you supposed to stop that process?
And Castle shouldn't be throwing all over the Redskins. I understand that. But I'm going to say one more thing on this.
Okay.
I know what it is to root for the bad guy. I was a huge Rowdy Roddy Piper fan for years. Finally, I made a decision, and that was it. And Bill, you got to take the kilt off. You got to jump to the other side. There's still time.
Still time. You know what? At this point, I kind of enjoy it. I mean, it was really like during that Redskins game, I was like, I was in full Cobra Kai mode. Finish them! Finish them!
I can't take it anymore. If you guys get A-Rod, I'm moving to Canada for 3 years. I'm not even kidding.
Well, let me ask you this. If the Pats go 19-0 and they get the number 4 pick in the draft, what would be your feelings on that? What do we need? We probably need a linebacker, right?
Why don't they just the linebackers are the receivers too? So yeah, what does it matter anymore?
In New England's defense, the way the Redskins came out for that game, their game plan and everything else was a complete abomination.
I know it was terrible.
They came out in a basic 4-3, and they never blitzed. They never did anything. I don't understand. What is Brady supposed to apologize because the Redskins didn't see any game tape of them for 8 weeks?
I don't know. But, you know, Belichick's making it like they were unfairly accused of cheating. Like they did cheat. It's one thing if you say, hey, whoa, we didn't cheat. What are you talking about? And then you run it up on people. But they admitted to cheating, and now they're making everyone pay.
It's
a terrible thing.
I think the issue is more that when the whole thing happened, everybody in the league stepped up and took pot shots at him and had their little turn in the sun where they took their little swipes.
Yeah,
and nobody stepped up and made the point, the very valid point, that all of these offensive defense coordinators cover their mouths when they call in plays. So obviously the Patriots aren't the only ones that are doing something.
All right. Well, we need Mangini to apologize so we can get back to a normal season. They're going to put up a Chamberlain. They're going to put up 100 points against the Jets.
I'm flying back. I'm telling you. It's going to be like a Roman Coliseum.
What do they care? They don't care. Like, imagine if you don't have to worry about shaking hands with the coach at the end of the game. Then he's going to score 150 points against them.
Well, I think Brady's going to want to Belichick, I think he's going to want to shake hands after.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's going to be like when you meet the guy who's dating your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, it's even more humiliating.
Yeah, you want to make the eye contact with him and give him the FU smirk.
All right. You can take the kilt off, and you can get a lot more of my horrible picks at JimmyKimmelLive.com.
All right. We will talk to you next week. Cousin Sal, thanks as always.
Take the kilt off, Bill.
All right, I will. Talk to you later.
See ya.
All right. It's the moment you've all been waiting for. The final edition of a segment that's had a variety of names, but is now done for the winter because the Red Sox have won the World Series. One last time, we're going to call my buddy Jacko at work for a segment that used to be called Johnny, Are You Worried Yet? Because he's a Yankee fan. Then they got knocked out. Then it was called Johnny, Should I Be Worried Yet? Because I'm a Red Sox fan and I was hoping they'd win the World Series. And now it's called Sayonara, Johnny. We'll talk to you in April, I guess. Maybe March. Anyway, let's give him a ring.
Hello, John O'Connell.
Johnny!
Hey! What's new? What's going on?
What's happening?
What have you been up to?
You know, just dancing around.
Sure.
Pouring champagne on myself.
What's that? Pouring champagne on yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. I don't know. You know, the Yanks won in 2000. It was a long time ago. I don't remember. Right. I don't know if you remember what it felt like.
It's been a while. I can rack my brain and think way
seven
back
years.
Into the past.
Yeah. Well, if you can think back that long, it's
right.
Really fun when your team wins the World Series. It's an enjoyable experience.
You didn't hurt yourself, did you?
What do you mean?
Well, you're the guy that I seem to remember a certain running diary about how you were so done after Cleveland won Game 4 and it's all over. And
I left the door open.
And then you just wrote a glowing, I looked in my father's eyes and, you know, tears on my cheeks article. I hope you didn't hurt yourself catching that bandwagon again, hopping on.
Never jumped off.
Sprained an ankle.
Lost a little faith. That's about it.
Unbelievable.
Well, I didn't know is that Schilling and Big Poppy after Game 4, they took the boys to a players only meeting.
Oh, really?
The hammer down, yeah.
I haven't heard of this, really.
Yes. They actually alluded to it during one of the Fox games, and it was one of those things where we have overkill for everything. And in this case, I was actually interested to know about it, but then I think they had to sell a Taco Bell taco or something.
Right.
They let it go. But Johnny, what has the last 72 hours been like for you?
A living hell. Absolutely horrific. I've really questioned my will to live and my place in this world. And I've really had to ask some big, deep philosophical questions. I've endured countless emails, taunting emails from Red Sox Nation friends of mine.
I didn't send you any.
No, you did not. And I was very gracious. I sent you congratulations.
I appreciated that.
As I've done to all Red Sox fans. And now I know what it feels like to have been a Red Sox fan from 1918 to 2004. I just look forward to next year amidst the chaos. And I didn't watch one pitch of the World Series. I can honestly say that. And my good friend Chris would call me to try and get the reverse jinx going. So at first I was taking his calls, and then I would not take his calls. Mm. And either answering the phone or not answering the phone didn't work. I tried a preemptive reverse jinx of my own. That didn't work, so your magic was just too powerful this year, you know. Congratulations to you. Kudos.
Well, we had that. We also had the Colorado Rockies, which also helped.
That was a big factor, yes. Yes, it was a huge factor.
And I want to know.
They're having a rally. I see in the paper today that they're going to have a rally. So they talk about just being happy to be there. You're not a good competition.
Wow, that reminiscent of the day when your mighty whale had the
right.
rally after they lost the Wales Conference semifinals.
Right. At least this was in the championship round. The mighty whale had a parade, a large parade for that matter, after making it to the first round of the playoffs. So.
And losing in seven games to the mighty Habs.
That's right. That is the level by which all other sports patheticness is compared to, if you have a parade after the first round of the playoffs.
Well,
it'll never be topped, only equaled.
That's probably level one. I think level two is bringing out the hankies for a home game.
Yeah, exactly. The whale never had a chance to do that, unfortunately. So, something to look forward to.
I continue to be amazed by the National League. And, you know, I think we can all blame the Cardinals because they swept the Tigers last year and uh-huh. really kind of killed the whole quadruple A thing that had been building a lot of steam.
Right.
And, you know, you look back at that World Series and the Tigers had a huge layoff. I think they were at an 8-day layoff, and then they basically just self-destruct in the World Series. They were terrible. Their pitchers had like 10 errors. Like
exactly.
They couldn't hit. And then everybody was like, wow, this quadruple A thing's garbage. It's nothing. The National League proved that it's equal. But if that World Series hadn't happened and the Tigers had just taken care of business and won, followed by what happened in this World Series, I think that would have been the dominant angle. Like, what are we going to do about this imbalanced league? Because that Colorado team had like two guys that would have played for the Red Sox.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's ridiculous. Absolutely. I mean, and the Sox swept in 04 and the White Sox swept in 05.
Right.
And this was a sweep. And yeah, the Cardinals thing last year, like you say, the Tigers pitchers couldn't field the ball and couldn't throw the ball. That was just problematic. But yeah, otherwise it would be a huge thing. They'd have
and
to
then interleague play, the interleague stats every year that AL dominates.
Right, right.
But I think this is all leading to your beloved boy A-Rod.
Yeah, my beloved boy. Yeah.
Heading to the National League where he can hit 78 homers a year or whatever he's going
to
do.
Right, maybe he will single-handedly balance the two leagues with when he goes to the San Francisco Giants. And he has a triumphant postseason like he has had for the past 4 years, I'm sure.
So now that you're definitely parting ways with A-Rod, how are you leaving in terms of the bitterness?
Well, I never really fully embraced A-Rod. I mean, I cheered for the 54 home runs and 150 RBIs this year like every other pathetic front-running Yankee fan.
You said on this podcast 2 months ago that you've given him a blank contract and told him to sign it and write in the figure.
I did say that. And you know, you can't – I mean, I love the numbers he puts up, but, you know, he's just not a Yankee in the way that Jeter is, you know.
Yeah.
My heart belongs to Jeter, and I rooted for A-Rod. I sound like Lloyd Benson now. I'm like, I rooted for A-Rod. I knew A-Rod, but you, sir, were no Yankee. But I mean, you know, he's just an odd guy. I can say it now. I mean, the slap in 2004 was odd. The yelling this year around second base was odd.
Yeah.
He's always in the midst of all kinds of controversy. And that 2-for-17 in the postseason ain't helping either. So, I mean, I was kind of hoping they would sign him to an extension because it leaves beyond a gaping hole at third base. But, you know, sometimes I think the team might be better off without him. You know, we won 4 World Series in the 90s without him, and we haven't done much with him. So
could be some Ewing theory, potentially.
He's some huge Ewing theory potential. So,
well, then the other thing is you finally got rid of Don Mattingly, who's really been dragging the franchise down for 30 years.
Well, I yield to no one in my love of Don Mattingly. But
I know, but you got to admit, they've never won a World Series when he's been working for the organization in any capacity.
It's true. It's raised some question marks. Yeah, no doubt.
Question marks.
Some questions for poor Downey Baseball. It's going to be weird to see him in a Dodgers uniform as the bench coach, though. It's going to be odd. But, yeah.
You know, I love the fact that Joe Torre is just going to go to the National League after he's been in the American League for like 14 years. How could he... What has it been? Was he 13 years for the Yanks? 12
years?
Yeah,
since 96 was his first year.
So 12 years. Mm-hmm. What does Joe Torre know about the National League? Like,
nothing.
What wisdom is he going to impart to, like, hey, lay off Jake Peavy. He's got a nasty whatever. I mean, he knows nothing.
I know. It's been a while. Yeah, it'll be a learning process, no doubt. I wonder how Scott Proctor feels about being reunited with him.
Oh, God. It's like being reunited with somebody who you worked for in a slave shop. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's got to be the most bummed out guy in the world. How about Frank McCourt, the guy from Boston that owns them now? He's just collecting old Yankees and Red Sox. Look, that's all he knows, you know?
Yeah.
Derek Lowe and Noma and now Jeter and, I mean, blasphemy, now Torrey and Mattingly.
Yeah, he's one of those rich guys who stopped following sports about 15 years ago but still thinks he's a huge sports fan.
Right.
So that he sees these names like, Joe Torre, really? How can we get him? There's no idea.
Maybe the Yankees can get out from, like, Giambi's contract or Mussina by trading him to the Dodgers, you know?
Or like, Frank Thomas might have a place.
Exactly.
You know what? I was reading up on the Torre stuff because, really, frankly, there was no other choice because it was 2 straight weeks of Joe Torre coverage around
the
clock.
All the time, yeah.
It is amazing how bad his track record was, first of all with relievers, and second of all with young starting pitchers. Like, he literally did not develop one young starting pitcher during the 11 years that he worked for the Yankees. Like, even Andy Pettit had been there, so Torre can't really get credit for that. But over the next 12 years, not one guy.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you can put that all on him, though. I mean, they haven't had, like, if you look back, they haven't had many prospects who were really, like, you know, grade A prospects.
Well, we say that now, but maybe...
Maybe they were.
Yeah, maybe they were, and they just folded under Torre's Carl Malden-like glare.
Be. I mean, I think he strikes me as the kind of guy who's, like, playing cards back with the veterans and probably doesn't even know, like, the rookies' names, you know?
Right.
So I can't see him as, like, a really, like, a teacher, and, you know.
I have to say, from a Yankees standpoint, the choice between paying Torre $5 million plus incentives versus getting Joe Girardi for half the price for 3 years, like, I think that was a no-brainer.
Well, but for a team that would care about money, but do you think the Yankees really like nickel and dime? And for them, it is nickel and dimes between like between 3 million and 7 million.
Yeah, but is it? Torrey was there forever, though. It was time for him to go.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think if Pinella was out there, I mean, you know, I want the guy flipping over post game tables and throwing.
You've always liked Pinella.
I did, but to change for Girardi, I mean, I don't know. It worries me his time. Between Girardi and Mattingly, and I realize this is blasphemous, but I'm happy they picked Girardi because he's been there before. At least he's managed, and people say he's like really cerebral. But you know, I don't know. From him to, I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. It makes me nervous that he like got mad at the owner for yelling at the umps or something. I mean,
yeah,
that concerns me. And they say he's got a little Buck Showalter in him, which makes me a little nervous too.
The thing I like about him is it really looks like he could be wearing like a black Yankees t-shirt with like a big giant gold cross and like yelling at somebody on one of the parkways or whatever. Like he just looks like somebody who should manage the Yankees.
Well, I was thinking of you when they were talking about him this week because they talked about how his interview was really amazing.
And oh, I love that.
Everybody was like blown away by his interview and not since Penny Hardaway's workout. Have I heard tales, like urban legends, about what went on in this interview? Like, what can you possibly do as a baseball manager to like blow somebody away at an interview? Like, here's where I laid out a bunt, and they were like, "Oh my God, wow! Yeah. I never thought of that."
I have a new way. I've revolutionized the hit and run.
Really?
It is. You know, there's the San Francisco 49ers. Supposedly, the same thing happened with this guy Mike Nolan that they hired, and they talked about he had a 5-hour interview or something. And the owner was just so blown away, he offered him the job on the spot. Like, what could happen in those 5 hours? It's inexplicable.
I've devised a plan of scoring more touchdowns than the opponent. Like, whoa, my God, really? It's unheard of.
And here are my thoughts on sushi.
Exactly.
Like, I don't understand how that could. And then on the flip side, like Marvin Lewis used to interview every year for an NFL job, and he'd never get it. They would say the interview wasn't that good. Like, what did he do in that interview? Like, was his shirt not tucked right? Or
yeah.
It's a weird thing. How about Mattingly, though, just refusing to come back?
You have to respect that. I mean, you know, the guy's like, he's like, you know, I'm Don Mattingly, damn it. I'm Keith Hernandez. You know, I'm Don Mattingly. I've been the biggest Yankee. I was the biggest Yankee all through the 80s. They brought me in 4 years ago. Basically, although he claims they didn't outright promise him he'd be the manager someday, it was at least implied. And then he gets, you know, screwed over from his perspective by Joe Girardi.
What was that?
Too.
Whatever.
He went out classy, at least, though, because he knows if Girardi blows up, they'll be calling the Dodgers for permission to talk to Downing next year or so.
But wasn't he the hitting coach and wasn't really that good?
He wasn't great as a hitting coach. And, I mean, I still don't really understand what the bench coach does. I think he just offers up ideas to the manager, like, hit and run here? And the manager's like, no. I mean, that's the bench coach's job, you know?
I think... Yeah, I've always been fascinated by that. I pushed a couple of years ago. I pushed for them to change that word to conciliary, like they have in the mafia.
That's very good. That's exactly what they are.
But
right?
I think the guy is just there for the manager to say, "What do you think? He looks kind of tired."
Yeah.
And then the bench coach is supposed to be like, "Yeah, he does look kind of tired. Maybe we should warm somebody up."
Exactly.
And that's really all they do.
Yeah. In other sports, he'd be called like an assistant coach.
Well, I also think he's. He's by contract. He's the first guy you hug if you win.
Yeah, definitely. Because usually it's some guy you played with or buddies. You know, you're over the same age generally. So,
John, if I was ever a manager, I would have you as my bench coach.
Thank you very much.
I really would. I think it's somebody you just want to hang out with.
I could offer you sunflower seeds, stuff like that during the game. You know.
Hey, watch out! There's a puddle of spit in the floor. Don't step in that. Thank you, bench coach. give me the quick Mike and the Mad Dog take on everything that's happened with this Yankees manager.
Well, the funny thing, they were dying yesterday because they were talking about how long Brian Cashman talks at press conferences. So they had some like teleconference with Brian Cashman.
Yeah.
And every time they went back to him, he was still talking. So they were like, he's like, Doug, pick a number, start counting down. And Mad Dog's like, 10, 9. And they would count down and they'd go back to Cashman. And Cashman would still be talking, and Dog was like doing like the hold the nose thing. I was on the radio, but you could tell he's like,
ah-ha! Hey, he talks a long time, Mikey. He talks forever.
I mean, Brian, we get the point. Cut it down, would you please?
So what was the Mad Dog story you told me last weekend? about when he went to Fenway.
The Mad Dog did like a 10-minute monologue about going to the first World Series game because his son Timmy is a big Red Sox fan, and he's like, "Mike, I mean, it's a great park, but you get underneath there and you're trapped there forever." And he's like, "We go down to get some chicken fingers and fries for Timmy, and it's so crowded with people, I couldn't walk." And then he's like, "Timmy gets ketchup on his paddleboard jersey, he's crying, he's like, 'I'm never coming back here.'" You would think that he would spend time in like a Vietnamese prison camp. The way he made like Fenway Park sound, like he was like fearful for his life. It was insane.
And then Mike was like, "Dog, it's a dungeon down
there."
Yeah,
he's like, "Dog, you do not want to get stuck down there." He's like, "You take your seat and you sit there till the game ends."
You like, don't move.
It's impossible to move around Fenway Park. It's like there's only 38,000 people there, you know? I mean, I know it's an old park. It's small, but, you know, it's literally like they were at Alcatraz.
Well,
Doug, take your seat. Don't make eye contact. Just
I will say, underneath that stadium really probably is the most depressing single area of any ballpark in any sport.
I understand it's narrow and it's jam-packed, but, you know, I don't know. Yankee Stadium is no prize either.
No, it's really not.
Any of the old-time ones, it's not like, that's the thing you really notice when you go to new stadiums. It's like everything is so wide open and 80,000 concession stands and, you know,
yeah,
it's like an amusement park.
I love the fact that Dog is a huge San Fran fan, but his son roots for the Red Sox. Like, I just feel like
yeah,
he failed as a parent if that happens.
How about Bonzi, Timmy, huh? Little Timmy Mad Dog is like, "I want a Papelbon jersey," you know?
Maybe Timmy didn't want to root for the Red Sox or root for the Giants because he wanted to have less in common with the Mad Dog.
He didn't want to be as crazed as his father.
Do you think he talks like the Mad Dog?
I don't know. He very well may.
I really miss those guys. I have been without DirecTV for a couple of weeks, and I was dying to see what their thoughts were on this whole everything.
Oh, they've been fantastic about the Yankees. Just you know, it's all Yankees all the time on the fan. You know, I mean, the Mets, it's like, do we have another team in New York? You know?
And meanwhile, the Mets probably have a better chance to be in the World Series next year than the Yankees because they're really only like a couple moves away.
Well,
it's a terrible league.
You know, this is on the radio the other day. What about if the Mets went out and signed A-Rod and moved him to short and traded Jose Reyes to the Twins for Santana?
Oh, my God.
Not a bad team. Hey, Doug, that is not a bad team, my dad.
Doug, that is a good team. I was talking to my dad yesterday, and he heard on the radio that the Red. He didn't know if it was true. It might have been a talk show caller, but I was talking about, would the Red Sox make a run for Johan? And what if the Twins asked for Coco Crisp, who obviously, you know, we'd pack his bags for him. After Ellsbury started Game 5 of the Cleveland series, I called my dad and we were making all these jokes like, Terminal A, Terminal B, or Terminal C, Coco? Where can we drop you off? But so we're talking Coco Crisp, Clay Buchholz, and John Lester for Johan. Would that be enough, and would you do it? And my dad was like, I mean, really sounded tortured, like, because he loves Buchholz, and obviously trading Lester when he comes back from cancer, like, that's just kind of like bad karma,
yeah,
potentially.
Right.
But on the other hand, Johan Santana is by far the best pitcher in either league. It's ridiculous.
Well, the other one they had on the radio from a Yankees perspective is Melky Cabrera and Phil Hughes for Santana.
Oh, I think you'd have to give up Ian Kennedy, too.
Maybe. You don't think Hughes is enough?
No, I don't.
I would do Hughes and Kennedy and Melky for Santana.
Oof. I think the Twins should trade him. Like, he's going to leave anyway.
Oh, God, yeah. There's no way they're re-signing him.
Well, and that's the problem with the Red Sox is that if we don't make a run for him, then the Yankees or the Mets probably will, but more likely the Yankees.
Yeah, the Yanks have those young pitchers now that can maybe do some things with, you know?
Oh, my Lord. This is – Johan is ridiculous. Like, I don't think the average – well, maybe the diehard baseball fan knows how good he is, but, like, unless you're in a fantasy league and he's going for, like, $45, like, you don't really, like, fully realize how great that guy is.
Yeah. But he wasn't great last year.
Well, I mean, statistically,
he's
still good.
He's
still going to throw 230 innings, and he's a lefty, and he's going to be good in the playoffs. And
if you run Santana, Wong, Pettit, Jabba out there, it's not bad.
That would be pretty good.
It's not bad to work with. I'll go to war with that.
Do you think A-Rod could go back to shortstop, though?
I wouldn't see why not. I mean, you know, you think because he's played third for three, four years, he can go back?
I think he filled out a little bit. I don't know if he has the same flexibility that he had like 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that he would probably play third, just that Mets, if he, you know, if you had that Mets scenario, you could leave David Wright at third and trade Reyes.
Wow. Yeah, it's really...
If the Mets signed him, they'll probably play third and they'll move Wright to first.
Now that these big budget teams have kind of figured out what they're doing with their farm systems, like, I really feel like we're moving toward this era where it's just going to be one of five teams winning the World Series every year.
Well, it could be. I mean, there's just so many teams. You know, there's only like three or four teams they talk about A-Rod going to, and nobody else is in the market for him.
Right.
And you look at like the Yankees and the Red Sox, who've kind of gotten smart now and keeping young talent, developing the farm system and everything. I mean, the Royals and the Pirates, and they're like, their ilk can't compete like that. You know,
that's impossible. You look at that Rockies series, and it was like they needed like seven more guys to be on to even make that like a 6-game series.
Yeah, I guess they just hope, like, if you're one of those teams, you hope you catch lightning in a bottle and you make a run in your pathetic league and then you make it to the World Series, you know?
Right.
Well, that really only applies to National League teams, so.
If you had to bet on one team for A-Rod, who would you bet on?
I think he's going to go to the Giants. I think it makes all the sense in the world. They need to replace Bonds. He would never be bothered there. The fans would immediately embrace him.
Hmm.
I would say it's almost like neck and neck between the Angels and the Giants. But the guy, I don't know, there's all these things about the owner of the Angels said that he wasn't going to have a quarter of his payroll on one guy. So
I think it's going to be the Angels, and I think what's going to happen is he's going to be at some cocktail party out here, and some other rich guy is going to make fun of him for not spending enough money on A-Rod. Or it's somehow his pride, because that guy's kind of crazy, Moreno. Somehow his pride will be in question with one of the other five billionaires he hangs out with out here, and then he'll just go nuts and give Boris like $200 million for 5 years or whatever. A-Rod will definitely get 35 a year, I think.
Yeah, but
everybody's throwing 30. I think it'll be at least 35.
But see, doesn't he want a longer contract? So it's probably going to be like 35 for seven. It's probably the compromise is they give him more dollars, but the team gets less years.
Wow.
35 for seven.
I don't care, as long as the Red Sox aren't involved.
But
anyway,
they're going to re-sign Mike Lowell, aren't they?
NBA. I hope so.
So all the fans wanted up at their parade yesterday.
Well, you know, I think there's a valid argument just to bring everybody back and try to win it again. Because it's not like 2004 where it was kind of like a team that was evolving into something else. The nucleus of this team could just come back again and do as well, you would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we're rooting for.
You know, our governor of Connecticut wrote to the owner of the Red Sox asking for a rally in Hartford, Connecticut. So look for me on the news there. I'll be the guy in the Phantom of the Opera mask crashing the stage.
Well, Johnny, we might have to take a couple weeks off
from
the segment, but I think we're going to come back when something happens with something, whether
Excellent.
It's A-Rod or whatever, because frankly, my life won't be the same without you every Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, or whatever.
Thank you for whatever day it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being so gracious.
Always.
And
unfortunately,
and,
in the past few years, I've had to learn to be gracious.
Yeah,
and I'm well schooled at it now. Unfortunately, so
I think you've handled yourself with a lot of dignity.
Thank you.
Deep down, I know you're happy for Red Sox Nation.
Not really, but you can tell yourself that.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Target to sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.